بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم ويعفو عن كثير. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, and the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International, as Muslims, we often wonder why the plight of the Ummah is so painful and pitiful. And we run our minds in 1,000 directions, rightly or wrongly. But we seldom pause and reflect over our individual wrongs and its negative impact on the planet. The Urdu poet said it very aptly and succinctly: Nigah-e-aib-giri se jo dekha ahl-e-alam ko, koi kafir, koi fasiq, koi zindiq akbar tha. Magar jab ho gaya dil ihtisab-e-nafs par ma'il, ہوا ثابت کہ ہر فرزند آدم مجھ سے بہتر تھا. When I rotated a critical gaze around me, I only spotted an atheist, an agnostic, an infidel, a criminal, a transgressor. Then I paused momentarily and I said, let me focus the lenses on myself. And lo and behold, there was such a loud stench emitting from me that I was compelled to concede that I am the most wicked of all those that inhabit the planet. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has made mention in Bidayatul Hidayah, when he speaks about the reality of a person, he says, when you pass by a lad, someone young, you're supposed to say to yourself, هَذَا لَمْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَأَنَا عَصَيْتُهُ فَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنِّي. This boy is young, he's pure, he's innocent, he hasn't sinned, I have disobeyed Allah, definitely this boy is better than me. And when you pass by a senior, you should say, هَذَا عَبَدَ اللَّهَ قَبْلِي فَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنِّي. This man is born way before me, he's worshipping Allah before my birth. There can be no two opinions, he's better than me. وَإِذَا مَرَرْتَ بِعَالِمٍ, and when you pass by a scholar, you say, هَذَا عَلِمَ مَا لَمْ أَعْلَمْ وَبَلَغَ مَا لَمْ أَبْلُغْ فَكَيْفَ أَكُونُ مِثْلَهُ. He has committed the Qur'an to his bosom. He keeps in his chest the prophetic narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What an insult for me to compare myself to the scholar. And when you pass by a supposed sinner, you say, هَذَا عَصَى اللَّهَ بِجَهْلٍ وَأَنَا عَصَيْتُ اللَّهَ بِعِلْمٍ فَحُجَّةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيَّ أَكْبَرُ. This man has sinned because he doesn't know better. I have sinned despite knowing the severe warnings of transgressing and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surely the proof of Allah will be more severe against me on the day of Qiyamah. By Allah, there can be no two opinions on the fact that as much as there are tyrants, dictators, autocrats that have rocked the planet, our individual crimes are fueling the existing crisis. In Tafsir al-Kabir, there's an amazing incident mentioned. Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned this, that there was a king by the name of Anoushirwan. Kharaja ila al-Saydi yawma. He went on a hunting trip. Wanqata'a an askarihi. And then he broke away from his entourage. And then he was somewhat isolated in pursuing the game. وَاسْتَوْلَ الْعَدْشُ عَلَيْهِ, and thirst got the better of him. وَوَصَلَ إِلَى الْبُسْتَانِ, he reached to a garden, and there was an orchard there, and there were some pomegranate trees. So he said to the young lad, أَعْطِنِي رُمَّانَ, give me one pomegranate. So the youngster brought the pomegranate and placed it before this man, unknown to him his personality. فَشَقَّهَا, he split it. أَخْرَجَ حَبَّهَا, he took out the pits. And then he squeezed it, خَرَجَ مِنْهُ مَاءٌ كَثِيرٌ, tasty, sweet, palatable water. الحمد لله الذي سقانا عذبا فراتا برحمته ولم يجعله ملحا أجاجا بذنوبنا. Amongst the wholesome teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when you drink the water and it quenches your thirst, then you say to Allah that Allah has given me sweet and palatable water, and He hasn't denied and deprived me of this water due to my sins. In Jalalain, it's mentioned in the concluding verses of Surah Mulk, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Say unto them, if the water sinks into the earth, and Allah withholds the water from the clouds, who will provide you with water? One arrogant person said, بِالْفُؤُوسِ وَالْمَعَاوِلِ. With technology we'll dig deep down into the land, and we will withdraw, we'll dig boreholes, and we'll have wells, and we'll take out water. It's mentioned in Jalalain, فَذَهَبَ مَاءُ عَيْنِهِ فَعَمِيَ. Allah then dried up the water in his eyelids, and he lost his vision and became visually impaired. So anyway, thirst got the better of this man. He got the pomegranate, he split it in two, took out the grain, squeezed it, and he drank it. It was sweet, it was wholesome, it was lovely. An evil intention set into his heart. Pollution, contamination. He was the king, he was the ruler, he was the monarch. He said, I need to lay my hands on this orchard. Beautiful orchard like this, giving of beautiful fruit. This is something I'm going to lay my hands. We will expropriate this. So he asked the boy, give me another pomegranate. The boy obliged and complied. And he brings another pomegranate. Repeats the procedure. But this time very strange, very ironical, very peculiar. The boy brings the pomegranate, splits it in half, removes the grains, and now when he drinks it, ma'un qaleel, very little water. وَجَدَهُ مُؤْذِيَا. It had caused him pain and discomfort. So he quizzes the little boy, he engages the boy. لِمَ صَارَ الرُّمَّانُ هَكَذَا. Why the contradiction? Why the first one sweet and this one sour? لَعَلَّ مَلِكَ الْبَلَدْ عَزَمَ عَلَى الظُّلْمِ فَلِأَجْلِ شُؤْمِ ظُلْمِهِ صَارَ الرُّمَّانُ هَكَذَا. Looks like the ruler, the governor, the monarch, the man in charge, some evil intentions has set in his heart. The negative effect is the fruit has become sour. Unaware, he is talking to the man himself. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَ أَنُوشَرْوَانَ هَذَا وَكَانَ مُطَابِقًا لِأَحْوَالِ قَلْبِهِ تَابْ. When he heard this and he realized this is his tale playing out. You see your boy, you see his flamboyant arrogance, you say stop that, but you know that's you in him. Recently I read a nice interview about Muhammad Ali. It was something that was heartening, so I just share it with you. Some of his quotations are very amazing. He said, the one who viewed the world at 50, the same as he viewed it at 20, has surely wasted 30 years of his life. Time moves on. وَمَنْ صَحِبَ الدُّنْيَا طَوِيلًا تَقَلَّبَتْ عَلَىٰ عَيْنَيْهِ حَتَّى يَرَى صِدْقَهَا كِذْبًا. وَمَنْ صَحِبَ الدُّنْيَا طَوِيلًا. If you hear for long, you will realize, hang on, this is an optical illusion. This is a deception. دُنْيَا تُخَادِعُنِي كَأَنِّي لَسْتُ أَعْرِفُ حَالَهَا مَدَّتْ إِلَيَّ يَمِينَهَا فَقَطَعْتُهَا وَشِمَالَهَا مَنَعَ الْإِلَهُ حَرَامَهَا وَأَنَجْتَنَبْتُ حَلَالَهَا فَرَأَيْتُهَا مُحْتَاجَةً فَوَهَبْتُ جُمْلَتَهَا لَهَا. This world has come to me in a very seductive way, and it's trying to deceive me. So anyway, this particular article that I read, and I thought I'd just share it with you because I have a flash of it now. He says one day he was traveling with his daughter, and there was a passerby, a man walking. He told his daughter, you know, halt the car, give the gentleman a ride. He hops onto the car, takes him to his location, drops him off at his place, and then says, listen, in future, if you need to go from point A to point B, you need a ride, as they would say in North America, we would say lift. So if you need a ride from one place to another, you need to commute, please call on me. I will come, attend to you, assist you in your chores. And these are the teachings of our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as she hops back into the car, he asks his daughter, will you really do this? And she's like, yes, dad, that's why I made the commitment to the man. And he said, that is me in you. That is me in you. Those who come after you will be better than you or worse than you because of you. Those who come after you will be better than you or worse than you because of you. So anyway, Anushirwan repents. And he tells the boy, give me another pomegranate. He brings another one, splits it, and now he drinks it. فَوَجَدَهَا أَطْيَبْ مِنَ الرُّمَّانَةِ الْأُولَىٰ Lo and behold, the third one is sweeter than the first one. لِمَصَارَ الرُّمَّانُ هَكَذَا And what's this all about? لَعَلَّ مَلِكَ الْبَلَدْ تَابَ عَنِ الظُّلْمِ Probably this tyrant who had evil intentions, he has changed, reformed and rehabilitated himself. And the instant positive effect of his reformation is the sour fruit has become sweet. When he heard this, taba anil dhulmi bil kulliya, he repented in totality. So our individual wrongs are having a serious negative impact. Don't trivialize your one wrong on the global planet. The nation of Thamud, they asked Salih alayhi salatu wassalam, can you give us some miracle? Can you show us something extraordinary? So we would like the mountain to split and a camel to emerge. إِن كُنْتَ صَادِقًا فَأَخْرِجْ لَنَا مِنْ هَذَا الْجَبَلِ نَاقَةً حَامِلًا So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another verse of the Quran, when the disciples of Isa alayhi salam said to Isa, هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ رَبُّكَ أَن يُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ O Isa, can you ask your Allah to send for us a table laden with food? So in Arabic, ma'ida means a table with food, and khiwan would be a table without food. That's the beauty of the semantics of the Arabic language. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, O Isa, I don't have a problem in accommodating their request. But if I satisfy their request, and then they don't comply, I will subject them to a torment like no other person. You know, the boy says, Dad, I'm going to university. Well, now these things are crisis there. Hopefully that settles and our boys are studying. But I need a phone. Okay, give him a phone. I'll be more productive. I will achieve better. And after a few weeks, I need wheels. Okay, buy him a car. And then he'll be more, you know, constructive, academic, and he will achieve. And then the father is, listen, I've satisfied every request of yours. Now you better deliver. If you don't deliver, I will seize all your privileges. I will withhold all your perks. قال الله إني منزلها عليكم فمن يكفر بعد منكم فإني أعذبه عذابا That now if you will not comply, I will subject you to a torment like no other person. Salih alayhi salam makes dua to Allah, the mountain splits and a camel comes out. And she's amazing. عظيم الجثة. She's huge in her physique. Salih alayhi salam tells her, وَلَا تَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ Tells the nation, don't stretch an evil hand towards it. Suddenly the very thing they requested, the point I'm focusing and highlighting is, my individual wrong is really compounding and exacerbating the crisis. In my individual, myself, I know where I am in the entire equation, on my journey to my Creator. Don't stretch an evil hand towards this camel. Then they complain and moan and grow. It consumes large volumes of water. So okay, we will rotate it. One day the camel will drink water. One day the animals of the town will drink. But after a little while, they throw a new tantrum. And Salih alayhi salam cautions and warns them, listen, if you touch this camel with an evil hand, consider this nation wiped off the face of the earth. And then the devil comes and he releases one of his deadliest arrows. Two young damsels, attractive and seductive, in a sweet, charming voice, offer themselves to the youth of that community, that whoever will kill this camel, he can party with us. He can party with us. What did the Urdu poet say? Ishq ne ghalib nikamma kar diya, warna hum bhi aadmi te kaam ke. Ishq ne ghalib nikamma kar diya. My infatuation over a woman was probably the most incapacitating thing I did in my life. Otherwise, I had great talent. I had great muscle. I had great clout. I fell behind this woman. I lost my resources, my vision, my ability, and I destroyed myself. And yet another poet, mimicking the same lyrics, he says, Ishq ne Ahmad mujalla kar diya, warna hum bhi aadmi te naam ke. Ishq ne Ahmad mujalla. When the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning from Uhud, then Abu Sufyan, who wasn't a Muslim at that time, He said, "U'lu Hubul." May the Lord Hubul, the deity Hubul, be elevated. Nabi alayhi salam told Sayyidina Umar, respond. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu responded. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, "Allahu a'la wa ajal." Allah is the most high and Allah is the most exalted. The kuffar raised an objection to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said, "You prohibit us from multiple deities, but in the Quran you call out to a host of deities. Sometimes you say Allah, sometimes you say Rahman, sometimes you say Sami. And by Allah, every name of Allah is soothing. Every name of Allah has a therapeutic, you know, effect on the body." So Allah revealed the verse, "قُلِ ادْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِدْعُوا الرَّحْمَنَ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى." Say unto them, whether you say Allah or you say Rahman, these are different names of a common being. عِبَارَاتُنَا شَتَّى وَحُسْنُكَ وَاحِدُ وَكُلٌّ إِلَى ذَاكَ الْجَمَالِ يُشِيرُ. That our expressions might differ, my Lord, but your beauty is one. And each person in his own capacity expresses it, but it points to the greatness and the grandeur of one and the same being. So Nabi alayhi salam told Sayyidina Umar, respond, "Allahu a'la wa ajal." Allah is the most exalted and He is the most elevated. So Abu Sufyan responded by saying, "Lana al-Uzza wa la Uzza lakum." Oh, we have Uzza. Uzza is one of our deities. "Afara'aytumu al-Lata wal-Uzza wa manata al-thalithata al-ukhra. Lana al-Uzza wa la Uzza lakum." We have Uzza, you don't have any Uzza. You know, the young boy said to his grandfather, "Dad, how did you people live in the early days? No technology, no Instagram, no Snapchat, no WhatsApp, no email." He said, "My boy, just like how you living today, without any salah, without any Quran, without any prayer, without any morality, without any guidance, without any akhlaq, as you living a life devoid of morality, bereft of nobility, we live the life without technology." سَيَظِلُّ عِبْرَةً لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا لَنَا الْعُزَّى وَلَا عُزَّى لَكُمْ. We have Uzza, you have no Uzza. Nabi alayhi salam told Sayyidina Umar, you reply and say, "Allahu Mawlana وَلَا مَوْلَى لَكُمْ." Allahu Mawlana, Allah is our guardian. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ. So Abu Sufyan then says, يَوْمٌ بِيَوْمٍ. This day of Uhud is in response to the day of Badr. وَالْحَرْبُ سِجَالٌ. And a battle has its ups and downs. So Sayyidina Umar said, لَا سَوَا قَتْلَانَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَقَتْلَاكُمْ فِي النَّارِ. No, it's not the same. Our casualties are in paradise, your victims are in hell. Anyway, on that same lyric, that Ghalib said, عِشْقْنِ غَالِبْ نِكَمَّا كَرْدِيَا. That my love, my infatuation, one woman, and I've lost everything. I lost my vision, my capacity, my dream, my intelligence, everything gone. So what did the other poet say? عشق نے احمد مجلہ کر دیا ورنہ ہم بھی آدمی تھے نام کے. That I immersed myself in the love of Allah and it illuminated me. Otherwise I carried a name devoid of reality. But when I connected myself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, probably let me objectively digress. We're supposed to be making waves here. Am I right, Masurah? Making waves. Okay. So, you know, you get two waves. You get the good waves and the bad waves. Good vibes and the bad vibes. Good rockshans and probably the other one. You know, one of my teachers one day shared this with him. May Allah preserve him with afiyah. He says, I met a man and he said, this is my son. So, he's not very fluent in English, but nonetheless, he knew basic words and he engaged him. He said, son. Now obviously you have sun as in S-U-N, the sun that brightens the world, and this is my son, my boy. He said, your son, is he a winter sun or a summer sun? Is he a winter sun or a summer sun? So he said, what do you mean? He said, there's that one sun that's the summer sun. He can burn your skin, he's sweltering, he's hot, he's intense. You need protection, you want to run from him, you want to keep your distance. Is your son burning your skin? Or is it the winter sun that everybody is looking to come out, to warm themselves up, to take comfort in, to sit there and have a meal? What type of a sun is he? There are waves, my brother, that are destroying the youth, that are paralyzing the youth, that are crippling the youth. The Quran speaks about it in the 18 juz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the life of a disbeliever coupled with vice. The man living a life of sin, the young boy in his evil and his wrong. There's so much darkness in that life. Phone, technology and friends. It has crippled him. Imam Ahmad says, حَدَّثَنَا هَيْثَمْ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا إِسْمَعِيلُ بْنُ عَيَاشِ عَنْ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ بْنِ عَدِي الْبَهْرَانِ عَنْ يَزِيدِ بْنِ مَيْسَرَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ أَيُّهَا الشَّابُ التَّارِكُ شَهْوَتَهُ لِي الْمُتَبَذِّلُ شَبَابَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي أَنْتَ عِنْدِي كَبَعْضِ مَلَائِكَتِي. He says, I heard from Haytham, who says, I heard from Ismail ibn Ayash, who said, I heard from Abdul Rahman ibn Adi al-Bahrani, who said, I heard from Yazid ibn Maysara. Yazid ibn Maysara said that Allah says, O young man, restrain yourself, behave yourself, manage yourself. I say to the youth on the nights of parting, you just have to be home and sleep and Allah is happy with you. That's it. Do nothing else. There's a buzz, there's a big activity, there's a carnival, there's a festival. Just be at home and you, رُبَّ يَوْمٍ بَكَيْتُ مِنْهُ فَلَمَّا صِرْتُ فِي غَيْرِهِ بَكَيْتُ عَلَيْهِ. The Arabic poet said, sometimes I was faced with challenges and I said, Ya Allah, this is daunting. This is really challenging. Oh, this is bad. And as time progressed, I started cherishing what I once lamented. As things moved on, the man 30 years ago, who was the delinquent, surpasses the diligent of today. The delinquent of 3 decades is more noble than the diligent of today. That is where we are. رُبَّ يَوْمٍ بَكَيْتُ مِنْهُ. I cried, I lamented, I said, oh, what challenging moments. فَلَمَّا صِرْتُ فِي غَيْرِهِ. But as time moved on, بَكَيْتُ عَلَيْهِ. So anyway, Allah speaks. And mashallah, Radio Islam is making this inroads and reaching out to people to destroy this negative wave and inject within us that positive wave and that positive spirit. Allah speaks about the life of a sinner who is gripped in a host of evils and vices. أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرٍ. Reflect over the simile of the Qur'an. Digest the profound nature of the Qur'an. Understand the eloquence of the Qur'an. أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ. Or his similitude is like multiple layers of darkness. فِي بَحْرٍ لُجِّيٍ. In a deep ocean. Sayyidina Luqman said to his son, الدُّنْيَا بَحْرٌ عَمِيقٌ غَرَقَ فِيهِ الْأَوَّلُونَ وَالْآخَرُونَ. Oh my son, let me tell you the brutal truth. Let me tell you the crude reality. Let me spell it to you as it is. Grab the bull by your horns and call a spade a spade. The world is a rough ocean with high tides. The ocean is rough. The winds are gusty. The place outside there is really, really daunting. I've seen nations being swallowed. I've seen vessels being sunk. فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ فَاجْعَلْ سَفِينَتَكَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ. Oh my son, try your level best to make the obedience of Allah your vessel. So hopefully you can keep afloat. لَعَلَّكَ أَن تَنْجُو وَلَا أَرَاكَ نَاجِيًا. Probably you'll make it to the shore. But to be honest and be candid, I doubt it. This is Luqman Hakim saying it to his son. And me like, no, my son will never touch a drug. No, not my son. He doesn't pop pills. Somebody else is lighting. Not my boy. Not my boy. My boy is all covered. He's all clean. I'm afraid that it's like weather. The environment is like weather. When it's cold, then coldness enters every location and every item. You touch the plate, it's cold. You touch the wall, it's cold. You touch the tile, it's cold. You inside the house, it's cold. It's outside. In the same way is environment. When environment becomes evil and corrupt, then it enters and destroys every place. So Allah says the condition of a disbeliever is like layers of darkness. There's disbelief, then there's porn, then there's zina in his life, then there's a drug addiction, then he's perusing this site. Then he's got interest. Then he's got usury. In a verse of the Quran, I was just reading the other day in Madarikul Tanzeel, Allama An-Nasafi has mentioned it. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la ta'kulu ar-riba ad'afan muda'afa. Wattaqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. Wattaqun nar allati u'iddat lil kafirin. Oh, you who believe, don't consume compounded interest. right? Not to say that single interest is lawful and legitimate, but this was the notion amongst the Arabs, hence the prohibition was accordingly. And fear that fire which is prepared for the disbelievers. Imam Abu Hanifa says, أَخْوَفُ آيَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. أَخْوَفُ آيَةٍ, a verse that instills the most fear. Why? Allah is telling the believer, if you dabble in interest, brace yourself for a fire I prepared for the sinner and the disbeliever. But because due to your indulgence in interest, you'll be subjected to the fire which was meant for infidels and not for believers. وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ So, أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرٍ, a deep ocean. يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ سَحَابٍ And this is the life of so many of our youth and so many people. A man is in this vicious circle. He just can't exit this here. He wants to come out. He's gripped up. I want to give up my wrong. I want to give up my addiction. But I'm not ready to take the active steps. The Quran said, he's in a deep ocean. Just look at the parable of the Quran. Above him is a wave. Above that wave is another wave. And the two waves are overwhelmed by a gloomy cloud. The deep ocean, above him is a wave, above that wave is another wave, and outside it's gloomy and dark. How dark is it in the life of this kafir? How dark is it in the life of that sinner? Ask a man who's on sin and vice. He's in a palace, but he's depressed. The Quran says, إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا In the depths of that ocean, when he exposes his hand, he cannot possibly see his hand. Not he cannot see his hand, he cannot possibly. And I'm trying to do the closest possible translation, accommodating the grammar in the ayah. Lam yakad yaraha. Now the ulama tell us the organ is a limb that you can draw right close to your eye. Magnify it. You don't have to keep it at a distance. You can bring your hand right up to your eye. Allah says, this man is in so much darkness, in the depths of this ocean, in the life of sin, that if he brings his hand in a physical context, close up to himself, it's not possible for him to see. Why? وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورٌ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ If Allah doesn't decree guidance, nobody can illuminate that dark heart. We ask Allah to allow the nur to permeate us. We ask Allah to allow that nur, for us to be drenched into that nur. مَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ Coming back to that incident that I was mentioning of Salih alayhi salatu wa salam. This is just a preamble. Salih alayhi salatu wa salam makes dua to Allah, the camel emerges. And then the devil comes with his seductive approach, and then we digressed. And he offers two young girls come out and they say, kill this camel and you can party with us. You can party with us. And driven by their lust, succumb to their ego and their evil, they ambush the camel. As she exits, one releases an arrow, فَرَمَاهَا بِسَهْمٍ And the second one, what were my comments? Our individual wrongs are fueling the crisis on this earth. Every time you hear of a killing, a massacre, a butcher, an autocrat, a dictator, and a killing that is taking place, while that man would be liable, make no mistake, our wrongs are fueling that evil that's happening. So the second person, one being Misda, who releases the arrow, and the second one being Qadar, who the Quran says, إِذِمْ بَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا The most wretched, the most evil, the most wicked among them. He hamstrung the camel by severing its leg. فَعَقَرَ فَتَعَاطَى فَعَقَرَ Driven by the lust of one woman, two people decide to kill the camel. Salih alayhi salam said, the history of this nation is now over, chapter closed. Finished. They were in kufr and disbelief. Allah had given them grace and clemency and respite. They succumbed to the temptation and the provocation of their ego and the invitation of this woman. Salih alayhi salam said to them, it's over now. تَمَتَّعُوا فِي دَارِكُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ ذَلِكَ وَعْدٌ غَيْرُ مَكْذُومٍ You can have 3 days and in 3 days you would be over. When a man is in sin, then the only way out from his crisis is to resort to another sin. He's having crisis in his marriage. And now how does he come out of it? He goes to a massage parlor. So the gentleman goes to the pharmacist. He says, I need antidepressant pills. He says, you need a prescription. He shows his marriage certificate and wife's picture. He says, no, you need a prescription, brother. That doesn't work like that. He's in a crisis in his marriage. To come out of that crisis, he resorts to haram. So they said, if Salih said, we'll be destroyed in 3 days, why not wipe him out before 3 days? Makaru makran wa makarna makra. Allah gives respite. I'm just making anecdotal reference. It's in the Quran. Hatta idha stay'asa ar-rusul wa dhannu annahum qad kudhibu ja'ahum nasruna fanujjiya man nasha'u wa la yuraddu ba'suna 'anil qawmil mujrimin. You can read under the commentary of this ayah. The grace and the respite of Allah is so extended that the sinner says, no, there's nothing like azab. I've done this enough. Nothing happens. What happens? Allah gives so much respite that the arrogant, haughty, obstinate individuals, no, listen, man. This is, you flying kites here, my friend. There's no torment. We're doing zina for many years. Nothing goes wrong. Recently, one of my students came to me who's serving as an imam in one community. And he said, I just need to make some mashwara with you. Very recently. And then he started telling me about the extent of zina. My hair stood on end. It started from the young man. It moved from the bachelor into the married. It started from the uneducated. It moved into the educated. It started from the man who had no status in society. It moved into the corporate, into the learned, into the prominent. From the young to the old. It has paralyzed our community. I couldn't believe what this man is there. I said, are you real? He said, this is how widespread it has happened. How do you advise? Allah says he gives so much respite, the sinner says there's nothing like azab. There's nothing like, I did it a long man. We're doing it for long man. This is not my first trip. This is not my first operation. This is happening for years. And the Nabi becomes convinced that the azab won't come when I think it would come when Allah has decreed it. It's not going to come when I assume or calculate. It happens, the Nabi has absolute yaqeen on the inevitable nature of the torment of Allah. وَإِن مِّن قَرْيَةٍ إِلَّا نَحْنُ مُهْلِكُوهَا قَبْلَ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُوهَا عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا كَانَ ذَلِكَ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَسْطُورًا. This is entrenched in the lower mahfuz. So this cannot be changed in any way. But the criminal things I can do what I want to. So what happened, my brother? One man stood up to challenge the wrath of Allah in the passion of zina, and an entire nation was wiped out. In the battle of Uhud, the Muslims had to contend with some serious challenges. Basically, just a cursory look at it. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed tooth was lost. And remember, for the Sahaba, his blessed tooth was greater than anything and everything. And rightfully so, because everything of his blessed body was sacred. So the blessed tooth of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was made shaheed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had collapsed. Someone circulated the rumor of the assassination of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 70 Sahaba were martyred. Some Sahaba momentarily staggered. Other Sahaba momentarily left the battlefield. The post that was manned by 50 archers under the auspices of Abdullah bin Jubair radiallahu anhu with the dispute among Sahaba was left open. This niche was infiltrated by Khalid, who was not radiallahu anhu, whose belligerence in battle was well known. After all this was done, Sahaba started reflecting, and some of them said, أَوَلَمَّا أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَدْ أَصَبْتُمْ مِثْلَيْهَا قُلْتُمْ أَنَّا هَذَا قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Some of them said, but why did this all happen to us? We really having multiple challenges. We lost 70 lives. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tooth was made shaheed. There was confusion. There was rumors. Where did all this come from? This came out, the Quran says it, and let me be very clear here. The Sahaba, and this is my humble thought, and I say it, and I'm very passionate on the note of Sahaba. Sahaba are the only group that when we speak about their accolades or their mistake, our respect for them increases on both notes. Sahaba, when you tell me about the accolades of another man, I am not so impressed by him as my impression and my honor for Sahaba increases after I discuss their mistakes. And we don't consciously make it a topic, but surely what features in the Quran, we discuss it and we don't shy away from it because the Quran has spoken about it. But the point I'm saying here is Sahaba had multiple challenges in the Battle of Uhud and they said, what's happening? قُلْتُمْ أَنَّ قُلْتُمْ مُتَعَجِّبِينَ جَلَالَيْنَ قُلْتُمْ, you said, some of you said, where is this all from? 70 gone, a victory turned into somewhat of a defeat. And then the Nabi of Allah and others left. And oh, this has been really... Allah said, you don't have to look far where this came. This came because of you. This happened because of you. Now briefly, imagine, this was Sahaba, one unintentional, inadvertent, misunderstanding, with utmost respect to the Sahaba, changed the landscape of the battle. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدًا وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدًا. Allah honored His promise. Allah delivered on His promise. إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ. When you were dominant in the battle, and you were slaying your enemy, you were slaying your opponent. حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ. When weakness set into you. وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ. And you disputed. وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ. And you became non-compliant. مِن بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ. After Allah showed you the victory that you were desiring. مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Some of you were driven by spoils of the war, and others were focusing exclusively on Akhirah. The ulama ikram explained to us the rank of Sahaba so amazingly under this ayah. And it speaks, like I said, we speak about the mistake of Sahaba, but our reverence increases. Our reverence and honor, even after discussing their mistake, increases much more fold than when you tell me about the praises of any other person. Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi has written one place very beautiful in his Ma'riful Quran, that the Nabi of Allah said, Humul qawmu la yushqa jaleesuhum. That when a person sits in a noble gathering, then even a passerby is enveloped by the virtue of that gathering. He said, if that's the merit of any noble gathering, then what about those who sat in the company and the gathering of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How can any jalees be shaqi from amongst them? How can any companion or associate or disciple or attendant of that noble gathering be denied and deprived of the blessings of that gathering? And that was obviously the noble sahaba. May Allah's mercy be on them all. So what happened? When the victory came and there was difference of opinion, and with the exception of 11 sahaba coupled with Abdullah ibn Jubair, 39 left the post and they went forward. And Allah said, Minkum man yuridu dunya. Some of you wanted the spoils of war, you wanted wealth. The ulama say, now we need to understand this objectively. It's not like those that went, they got more, and those that stayed behind, they got less. Because the share of the spoils of the war is allocated. So your share is fixed and proportioned. Those that stood at the post got the same, those that went forward. Unless the Imam al-Muslimin at his rai and his discretion, he can bless any warrior, that's a separate explanation. Mufawwadun ila ra'i al-imam. But by and large, the participants enjoy one common position. So you have pay, you have ghanimat, and you have anfal. Semantically, academically, there's a breakdown on each one. We're not going into the linguistics and the breakdown of this. Now, those that went ahead, they got the same. Those that stayed behind, they got the same. But Allah referred to them, some of you wanted wealth. Number two, when the Sahaba laid their hands on that money, it's not like, you know what, I got this here, I'm going to go home and refurbish my house and take my children for a vacation. They took that money and they spent it in avenues of good. They were going to get a fixed share. They were going to channel that money in noble avenues. But due to the fact that it came at the price of compromising one order of Allah and one decree of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah modestly reproached them. Allah made itab on them. Minkum man yuridu dunya, wa minkum man yuridu al-akhirah. Thumma sarafakum anhum liyabtaliyakum, وَلَّقَدْ عَفَى عَنْكُمْ. And that's the Sahaba. Study them. And let me say this here, because today our youth and its technology, as Maulana alluded to it as well, that you know the world is out there, it's free for all. We just run our minds. My wife had recently some pain. And then again, you know, it's like Googling it. So there are doctors here, I don't know. But anyway, she comes with a little clip and it's on YouTube and whatever. So it looks like what? A particular pain that's sharp, that's excruciating, and trigeminal neuralgia. That's the word. The doctors will know better. So, okay, trigeminal neuralgia. Phone up a friend. No, man, how can it be trigeminal neuralgia? That's a different thing altogether. Convinced by this clip that we've seen, this is it. Confirmed with two doctors, they blatantly refute it. And they prove the condition to be something totally different, unrelated. And I said to her, it just hit me. I said, we've seen something which looks so compelling and convincing, yet the pain was so different and the diagnosis and prognosis was so different. Today a man used that same analogy for Quran and Sunnah. I have this condition, I have this state here, I Google it, I find something. Yeah, there's the Prophet ﷺ said this, the hadith is in Bukhari, and we apply it. And we were out, not by an inch, but by 100. We were off the mark completely. And this involved health, as Maulana alluded, the catastrophe on your health and the catastrophe on your faith. And that's how it is. It's become open and free. Just access the net and find whatever you want to, and it destroys your iman. When you look at the Sahaba, wherever Allah has mentioned any mistake of this, the verses before, the verses after, Allah lavishly praises them. Allah lavishly pardons them. Allah openly, repeatedly, categorically, unequivocally, explicitly, Allah speaks about how great they are. This very Badr, when the Sahaba marched, and they were on the outskirts of Badr, on Uhud, when they were on the outskirts of Medina, and Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul decides to withdraw. So as he backtracks, two groups from the Muslims, Banu Salmah and Banu Haritha, momentarily they also start reconsidering their options. إِذْ هَمَّتْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَن تَفْشَلَى. When two groups from amongst you, weakness entered into them. And they said, oh, do we go, don't we go? Because Abdullah bin Ubay decided to withdraw, and it created a negative impact on the mood of Sahaba. A large army withdrawing, and the Sahaba have been mobilized. So they also were for a moment, do we backtrack or what do we do? So Allah addressed this mistake of theirs, or supposed mistake. But then what did Allah say? Wallahu waliyuhuma. Wallahu waliyuhuma. But Allah was their guardian. Allah was their protector. Allah rescued them. And Allah empowered them. And Allah energized them. And they remained. And they fought. And they were sincere. So after mentioning all this, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Allah has pardoned them. إِذْ تُسْعِدُونَ. When you were climbing the mountain. وَلَا تَلْوُونَ. And you weren't looking back. وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ فِي أُخْرَاكُمْ. And the Nabi of Allah was calling out to you, and you couldn't hear him because you were gripped by so much in your life. You heard that he passed away, 70 lives had collapsed, Khalid's army came from the rear, and it caused chaos. Ka'b bin Malik then amplified his voice, and he returned. فَأَثَابَكُمْ غَمَّا بِغَمٍ أي غَمَّا مُضَاعَفًا. And then there was hazima, there was defeat, there was loss of lives. There was so much that had happened. In a nutshell, my brother, the point I am trying to impress upon you, the Sahaba asked the question, where did this come from? Allah said, it came from you. You left the post, and this was the ripple effects of how the landscape of the battle changed. 39 Muslims, alongside the noblest of mankind, the paragon of Allah's creation, turned an eminent victory into somewhat of a defeat. We're not talking of 39 Muslims today. We're not talking of 39,000. We're not talking of 3.9 million. We're talking of tens of hundreds of millions who have left their post, who have left their position. You can imagine the mayhem, the anarchy, and the chaos in the world. You can imagine the mayhem and the chaos that has rocked the planet. And the effects are far-reaching. قُلْتُمْ أَنَّا هَذَا قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Look into your own life and understand your negative impact that it is happening. So I just want to focus on one aspect. We could speak about so many wrongs, and I want to bring in the aspect of radio in it as well, and the profound impact that it has. One of the things in which the Ummah has failed and performed dismally, and that has created a big, because if we speak of 10 evils and a dozen wrongs, where do we start? Where do we start? So just to narrow it down, if we look around us today, unfortunately, honesty and loyalty has left the Ummah in its entirety, with the exception of a handful. Honesty and loyalty has just escaped us. It has just left us. And the negative impact, the repercussion of this is, you can see what has happened to the world. When the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his honorable spouse Khadija radiallahu anha, and he was distraught, and rightfully so, the woman who stood with him through thick and thin, who was his partner, who was his support in every aspect, facet and sphere of life. When the door was knocked, Fartah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was the most nostalgic thing. It used to trigger memories. Oh, that is the sister of Khadija. That knock is just similar to Khadija radiallahu anha. Can you imagine what an effect she had on the heart of Nabi alayhi salam, that the knock of her sister, post the demise of Khadija radiallahu anha, used to evoke the memories of Khadija radiallahu anha. How deep she was entrenched in the anatomy of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. May Allah put muhabba in our relationship. You know, I'm speaking on this aspect of Quran. You look at the verses of the Quran and the amazing meanings we get. In Surah Baqarah, just to objectively digress because I have this thought again, but this is Quran. Allah is speaking of talaq, then Allah interjects with salah, then Allah resumes with talaq. Now, it is a science of the Quran, Rabt Bain al-Ayat, and it's very intricate and delicate and philosophical, but it's amazing. What's the tie? What's the link between this? How does this link up with this? So Allah says, وَإِن طَلَّقْتُمُوهُنَّ مِن قَبْلِ أَن تَمَسُّوهُنَّ وَقَدْ فَرَضْتُمْ لَهُنَّ فَرِيضًا فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَضْتُمْ إِلَّا أَن يَعْفُونَ أَوْ يَعْفُوَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ عُقْدَةُ النِّكَاحِ وَأَن تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَنْسَوُوا الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. And then Allah continues, وَالَّذِينَ يُتَوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ وَيَذْ طلاق صلاة طلاق نكاح صلاة نكاح عدة طلاق صلاة. What's the link? What's the ربط? The Mufassirin say, in that verse here that I recited, I'm not going into the details, the ulama can read it. Allah says, the one who divorced a woman, وَالَّذِينَ وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَى, when you give divorce to a woman, and you had not, had any relation with her, you had not met in seclusion and isolation, and you had fixed the dowry, فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَضْتُمْ, then you will give her half of the dowry. But there are two exceptions to this rule. إِلَّا أَن يَعْفُونَ, either the woman herself says, no, no, I don't want the half, and everything is excused. أَوْ يَعْفُوَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ عُقْدَةُ النِّكَاحِ, or the man in whose hand is the authority of marriage, he had given the dowry in advance, and then he dissolves the marriage before seclusion and isolation, and he says, I don't want to claim anything. So in that sense, then the entire amount would remain with the woman. Then Allah says, وَأَنْ تَعْفُوا. Listen, in marriage, you're going to have rocky moments up and down. But the easiest, simplest, best formula is, learn to forgive and forget more than demand and insist. Because you're closer to Allah when you forgive than when you demand. وَأَنْ تَعْفُوا. And you forgive. You know, overlook. No, I'm going to come back and we're going to get at one another and nitty gritty. And I'll get at you, and you, and it goes and it becomes personal and ugly. وَأَنْ تَعْفُوا. Forgive. أقرب, closer to taqwa. وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ, and do not omit courtesy amongst yourself. حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ, be particular about your prayer. In Tafsir al-Uthmani, amongst other tafsir, the potential wisdom of this correlation is explored on multiple fronts. Just one I mentioned with you. That when a person is in a bitter relationship, you dissolve in a marriage, it's generally difficult to be kind with such a person. You almost want to claim what you gave, never mind give something else. you know what? You're asking me for a bonus check. You make sure that I'm giving you your 12th check. Never mind 13 one. You're asking for bonus. Yo, bonus. What bonus? If you weren't pinching from me and stealing, probably I would have been retired by now. So when you dissolve in a relationship, it's very difficult to be kind. And that's precisely what the Quran says, to be kind at this juncture. Now how do you reform yourself and learn to be kind and faithful and honest and diligent and compliant? Hang on, check your prayer, is it in order or not? Is salah in your life or not? If that salah is in your life, it's governing you, it's regulating you. And then if you see in Utlu Ma Uhiya, in the footnotes of this ayah, in Tafsir Uthman, it's written, if a man complains, his salah is not changing him. Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullah alayhi writes very beautiful. You know, his tafsir is so amazing. The other day I was sharing it with some ulama. In the fifth juz, Kana Allahu Aliman Hakima. Allah is all-knowing and all-wise. He writes there, I'll say it in Urdu and I'll try and translate it in English. Hey Allah, bila mubalagha, basseghaye mubalagha, alimun hakim. Hey Allah, bila mubalagha, basseghaye mubalagha. This is so profound. Without exaggeration, with the noun of exaggeration, Allah is alim and hakim. In the footnotes of the 21st juz under this ayah, he writes, if your salah is not changing you, you're not taking your medicine properly. Are you taking it before meals, after meals? They say you take it, you mustn't take it with caffeine, 1 hour before, 1 hour after. You mustn't have any chocolate with it. It compromises the potency of the medication. It doesn't have its optimum benefit. If your salah is not changing you, your salah is not in order. Your salah is not in order. So Allah says, perform salah. If you perform salah, you will learn to be kind even in hostile relationships. Even when you dissolve in something, and something is bitter, and it's ugly, and it's not good, even then you will learn to be kind, and that is through salah. Anyway, I was saying that today, honesty and loyalty has left the ummah. The Nabi of Allah has lost his spouse, Khadija radiyallahu anha. Khawla bint Hakim comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. O Nabi of Allah, you're looking sad and distraught. Can we get you married? And the Nabi of Allah says, yes. Who do you take the proposal? Take it to either Aisha radiyallahu anha, or you can take it to Sauda radiyallahu anha. Sauda, a relatively elderly woman. Aisha radiyallahu anha, a young girl. The proposal is brought to Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. Pause for a moment. I said, every evil is having a negative impact. To now fine-tune it and draw it to a particular message is honesty and loyalty. So Khawla bint Hakim knocks on the door of Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu and says that I have come with good news. The Nabi of Allah is proposing to your daughter Aisha radiyallahu anha. Can you possibly encapsulate that moment, that euphoric moment, that jubilation, the knock on the door? Person says, I'll never forget you. You selected, you chosen, you hit the lottery, you won this year, you done, you through. That moment is vivid, is indelible. The knock on the door, who is it? It's Abu Bakr. Okay, I just came to tell you that Nabi Sallallahu is proposing to your daughter Aisha radiallahu anha. Allahu Akbar. What did Abu Bakr radiallahu anha? You can read it in Sirat Mustafa. He said, we ecstatic, we elated, we overwhelmed. But the truth be told, Mutim ibn Adi has been discussing with me regarding his son Jubair that he's interested in my daughter Aisha radiallahu anha. And somewhat the relation has commenced. I need to first get back to him and see if he's pursuing this relation or not. I mean, if I have a counter proposal, that guy, he can fly kites. Who cares from him? Who cares about him? No, man, he didn't come back. Tough luck. This is a man of note. You just cannot compare. You cannot compare. There's no comparison to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's pointless for me to draw any analogy. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, in principle we on board, but the truth be told, I have given my word, my contract, my agreement, my honor to Mut'im ibn Adi. He's made some whispers for his son regarding my daughter Aisha. Are we going back or not? Where is this in the ummah? Where is this? Marriages are shattered, lives are broken. So much happens purely because there's no honesty, there's just no loyalty. Immediately he goes to the house of Mut'im ibn Adi, knocks on the door. Listen, I need to talk to you urgently. What's the urgency? I have a proposal from my prophet, from my Nabi, from my mentor. He says, no, you know what, I've seen your faith is different and your daughter's faith is different. I doubt my son and your daughter can be common in one house. So thank you for coming back to me, but my blessings with you. We're done with this here. This is sealed and it's done. You can move ahead. That's the time Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu returns. And he comes back to the Nabi of Allah and he tears and he says, "Oh Nabi of Allah, it's done and this is the great day." Honesty in the ummah, Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Sufyan, who wasn't a Muslim at that time, the Nabi of Allah writes a letter to Hiraql. Read the letters of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. And Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, the ulama say when he conveyed his message and he gathered the people, he amplified his voice by addressing the Meccans on an elevated place, which many argue was very much exploiting media objectively by that day. So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached out and his voice was amplified by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he stood elevated on Mount Safa. He categorically chose this location on an elevated location. Let's not omit this angle of history and captured in the books of Tariq and Seerah. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam objectively stood up and then he addressed and amplified his voice. Then when he wrote the letter, he said, "Ila azimir Rum." Again we learn. We must look at every angle of the seerah of Nabi alayhi salam. Ila azimir Rum, to the Roman emperor. Sahaba said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, these people like titles and they like to be honored and revered. So if you say sir, honorable, there's nothing wrong with that. You're giving him and affording some due respect." The Nabi of Allah said, "Ila azimir Rum," to the Roman emperor. And then he wrote him this detailed, amazing letter inviting him towards Islam, which is in Bukhari Sharif in the very beginning. When Hiraql received this letter, he asked Abu Sufyan, "Wakanu tujjaran bisham," and they were there in a trade caravan. He said, "Anybody knows this man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" Said, "Yeah, Abu Sufyan knows him." "Okay, summon him, set him down, put everyone close." He said, "Fa in kadhaba fa kadhibuhu." If I'm going to ask this man few questions via a translator, if he speaks a lie, you must belie him. Now listen to this, brothers. This is something that needs to, you know what, wake every fiber in our bodies. Abu Sufyan, at that time hostile, a disbeliever, at loggerheads with Islam, spearheading every anti-Islamic campaign. He's been interviewed by mass media to equate it today. Because today, by and large, mainstream media, we know it's an absolute unfortunate distortion. Sensationalize whatever you want to sensationalize. The incident of Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi, I read somewhere in his maktubat, somebody was reading the newspaper. So he said, "By what you're reading?" He said, "Hazrat, main dekh raha hu, is jhoot mein bhi kuch sach hai ya nahi? I'm just trying to sift and see if I can find any truth in these lies. Is there any truth in these lies?" By and large, color, you know, coded, and it is flavored, and then there's so many different angles and distortions to it. Truth, honesty, to get an accurate view, to get an honest, sincere, accurate view has become rare. And I believe that Radio Islam is definitely making inroads in this regard, and their sister stations, may Allah take them from strength to strength. To reach out and convey a true message, you got to analyze it, you got to dissect it. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. This is serious when it comes to social media. It is adequate to render a man a liar if he besees everything he hears. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا. It is adequate to render you a liar. أَن يُحَدِّثَ. You speak, you narrate, you broadcast. بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. Whatever comes, just forward. Then after a little while, you start retracting. You know, that poor man has passed away so many times, Sheikh Sudais's father. May Allah give him Jannah. May Allah give him Jannah. Like how many times? I'm just talking of one issue. Like how many times? And we just like, do we think about it? How many hours and hours and hours just go on this technology? And it's depriving us and destroying us and consuming us. What did Abu Sufyan say? Wallahi lawla al-haya. Wallahi lawla al-haya. Min an ya'thuru alayya kithban lakathibtu anhu. By Allah, if it wasn't for the fear that society would tarnish, stigmatize me as a liar, I was tempted to lie against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I wanted to lie, was I itching to lie? Was I itching to lie? But then I had to contend either I paint a nasty image against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and by and large that's what the Arabs were doing. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ مَاذَا أَنزَلَ رَبُّكُمْ قَالُوا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ لِيَحْمِلُوا أَوْزَارَهُمْ. What did Islam reveal, or what was revealed on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Ancient tales. If it wasn't for the fear of the embarrassment of being classified and rendered as a liar, I would blatantly lie. But then I said, no, I cannot lie. Can you imagine how pure and clean and wholesome that society is? And then he started asking me questions. كَيْفَ نَسَبُهُ فِيكُمْ. Tell us about the lineage of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هُوَ فِينَا ذُو نَسَبٍ. He's a man of great lineage. أَكْثَمْ بِنْ صَيْفِ. أَكْثَمْ بِنْ صَيْفِ. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He says, I had sent someone to go to the Nabi of Allah and ask him about his message. The Nabi of Allah recited, ask him his lineage and ask him his name. When the question was posed to Nabi alayhi salam, he replied by saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْءِ أَجْمَعُ آيَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. The most comprehensive verse in the Quran. Allah advocates three, Allah prohibits three. You ask any Muslim about this ayah, basically khutbah is over. That's it. Khutbah is over. Just yesterday, Juma time, khutbah was over, self reform. Gently I nudge the brother. Jazakallah, jazakallah. Brothers, we got to do some soul searching. النعاس في القتال من الله والنعاس في الصلاة من الشيطان. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه said, sleep is serene and tranquil and from Allah if it's in the battle. But when it comes to you in salah, it's not sukoon, it's from the devil. Then it's from the devil. And that in the same battle of Uhud, Allah brought sleep to the Sahaba. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْغَمِّ أَمَنَةً نُعَاسًا يَغْشَى طَائِفَةً مِنْكُمْ. After all the things that had clouded and crowded them, Allah brought sleep on them. And Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani writes so amazing, Allah brought the sleep to wake them up. Allah brought the sleep to wake them up. Because they were confused. They were anxious. They were uneasy. They lost their compass. They were trying to find their feet. And Allah gave them sleep to get up. Allahu Akbar. And Allah said, ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ. So this whole confusion. You know, someday you're having a long day, it's a Ramadan, you're fasting, and probably it's a Hafiz, and it's Para 25, and you're grappling, and whatever is coming your way, and you're tired, and you're exhausted, and then you have a 40 wink, a power nap, and you sleep to get up. You sleep to get up. And in the battle, Allah gave us that sleep. يَغْشَى طَائِفَةً مِنْكُمْ. It had enveloped the Sahaba. وَطَائِفَ قَدْ أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ. And the Munafiqeen, gripped by their own panic, يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. Entertaining negative thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they were denied. So, أَكْثَمْ بِنْ سَيْفِ. What do I know of this ayah? Nothing. When he heard this verse, he sent someone to ask about the lineage. Nabi Sassam responded by this. Not about the lineage. Nabi Sassam didn't speak about where the Nabi of Allah had the noblest of all lineages. We know that Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim bin Abdul Manaf bin Qusay bin Kilab bin Murra bin Ka'ab bin Lu'ay bin Ghalib bin Fahr bin Malik bin Nadhr bin Kinana bin Khuzaymah bin Mudrika bin Ilyas bin Mudar bin Nazar bin Ma'ad bin Adnan. Right till Adnan, it is uninterrupted. There's no two opinions. From Adnan onwards, academically, there's great debate. Allah had given the Nabi of Allah the noblest of lineage. He didn't focus on his lineage. كُنْ إِبْنَ مَنْ شَئِتَ وَاكْتَسِبْ أَدَبًا يُغْنِيكَ مَحْمُودُهُ عَنِ النَّسَبِ. Be a son to anyone and acquire knowledge and acquire wisdom. You won't have to introduce yourself through your father. Your knowledge will introduce you and your progeny. Your skills and your values will speak who you are. You don't have to say who my father is and who my... Sayyidina Ali used to say, لَيْسَ الْفَتَى مَنْ يَقُولُ كَانَ أَبِي وَكَانَ جَدِّي إِنَّمَا الْفَتَى مَنْ يَقُولُ هَا أَنَا ذَا. He's not a young man who runs on the back of his father, who runs on the strength of his grandfather, who runs on the strength of his ancestor. He's a young man who comes out and he says, I speak for myself. My character, my value stands up for himself. That is a young man. Anyway, Abu Sufyan, tell us about the lineage. He says he's a man of noble lineage. هَلْ كَانَ مِنْ أَبَائِهِ مِنْ مَلِكِ. Was there any king in the ancestry of Nabi alayhi salam? No. أشرف الناس اتبعوه أم ضعفاؤهم. An interview going on. Who makes up his followers? The noble or the poor? He said, no, more commonly the poor and the weak. And that was the makeup of the followers of all the Anbiya. Reflect over this dua. The Nabi of Allah didn't say, oh Allah, resurrect the poor with me. He said, Allah, resurrect me with the poor. Allahumma ahyini miskina wa amitni miskina wa ahshurni fi zumratil masakin. Oh Allah, resurrect me amongst the poor on the day of Qiyamah. What an honor, what an accolade, what a rich tribute to those who have physical and material challenges in this world. We don't ever have a condescending eye to anyone. We know not the rank and the position of any person in the year, in the life to come. Hal yakdhib? Does this man speak a lie? No, he doesn't speak a lie. Okay, well then the chapter is closed. I'm just fast forwarding it. Why would you say it's over? If the man hasn't spoken a lie for 40 years in his life, why will he stand up after 40 years and lie? I don't need to know anything else about him. Cutting a long story short, Abu Sufyan walks out. لَقَدْ أَمِرَ أَمْرُ بْنُ أَبِي كَبْشَةٍ حَتَّى يَخَافَهُ مَلِكُ بَنِ الْأَصْفَرِ. Indeed, the faith of Muhammad has prospered beyond the parameters of Arabia, that even the Roman emperors are trembling in their boots. Honesty is out of the window, my brother. The narration of Bukhari and Muslim on the day of Qiyamah. Everybody would converge and congregate. The intensity of the day of Qiyamah. The entire creation will come to Adam. Ishfa' lana ila rabbik. Ask Allah to commence hisab and accountability. وَهَلْ أَخْرَجَكُمْ إِلَّا خَطِيئَةُ أَبِيكُمْ. I made a mistake which resulted in the expulsion of man. I cannot take this courage and go to Allah. But go to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Musa alayhi salam will modestly decline. قَتَلْتُ نَفْسَا. I killed a soul. And you can read in Ma'riful Quran under this ayah. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَاغْفِرْ لِي فَغَفَرَ لَهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Mufti Shafi Saab rahmatullah alayhi has written at length about how a Muslim needs to live as a dignified citizen in a non-Muslim country. How we are ethically, morally and religiously obliged to honor all those rules and laws and injunctions which do not encroach or infringe or violate our faith and our teachings. We are ethically and religiously obligated. Why did Sayyidina Musa say, I commit an offense? It was against the law of the land. It was inadvertent. It was not deliberate. He just gave the person a little blow and it proved to be fatal and claimed his life. Great academic write-up. I cannot go. I had killed someone. Go to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam will decline. Go to Sayyidina Ibrahim. The entire creation will come to Ibrahim, the friend, the chosen, the selected servant of Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam will decline on what? Kazibtu thalatha kazibat. I spoke 3 lies in my life. Sorry man, I won't able to do this. Today a man speaks white lie. He speaks 3 lies per minute, per second. Per minute, per second he's lying. He thrives on lies. His income is to lie. That's all he does. And he makes no bones about it. I spoke 3 lies, sorry. What are the 3 lies? Quickly we run you through it. May Allah bring honesty in the ummah. May Allah bring loyalty in the ummah. My brother, my wrong and your wrong, combined collectively, is having ripple effects across the globe. It's having consequences, catastrophic consequences. Don't trivialize and isolate this. It's having its negative impact. Just like your positive, your good has an effect. Your good has an effect, your evil has an effect. I often like to mention this incident in supporting the theory that every man's good has a positive effect on the community, on the global village. On the occasion of Tabuk, when the Nabi of Allah exhorted the Sahaba to spend, and each one spent. And then there was a Sahabi by the name of Ulbah, Rajulun Mashhurun Min Al Ansar, a prominent Sahabi from the Ansar. Bazar makes mention of the narration. He stood up by night. Allahumma innaka amartana. وَرَغَّبْتَنَا ثُمَّ لَمْ تَجْعَلْ عِنْدِي مَا أَتَقَوَّى بِهِ. Allah, you've told us to spend, donate and contribute, and then you haven't given me. So I cannot imagine that tomorrow I show up without a donation. So Allah, I'm going to offer something unknown to others. I don't have funds, I don't have tangible, I don't have monetary. I'm going to donate my self-esteem, my right of retaliation. If any Muslim has offended, violated or insulted me, my right to respond, I forgive my Muslim brother. And this intangible, invisible donation I have made. Like it doesn't even cross my mind, okay, you can donate like that. Oh, I didn't even know that. I thought only online. Nothing crosses my mind.
He did his donation and he was silent. The next day he came to the gathering. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Manil mutasaddiqul bariha. Last night somebody gave charity. Brother, come forward. No, not me. I doubt that reference is to Manil mutasaddiqu bi'irdihil bariha. You know, sometimes when you are inflated and conceited, what they say in English, narcissist. You are wrapped up by yourself. You only want to hear your own praises. So you give something small and you think that's your recognition. When the magicians in the time of Musa alayhi salam dropped their heads in submission, so they said, Amanna bi Rabbil Alameen. We brought iman on the Lord of all the worlds. In Madarik al-Tanzil it's mentioned. So Fir'aun said, Iyaya anaytum. Iyaya anaytum. You say you brought iman on the Lord of the worlds, you mean me? He said, no, tough luck to you. Rabbi Musa wa Harun. The Lord of Musa and Harun. You can dream, we didn't bring iman on you. You know, if like say there are two Muhammads in a class and you say the first position goes to Muhammad. Sorry, not you, you came out last, the other Muhammad. That could be quite embarrassing. That could be quite a humbling moment. So when the magicians dropped their heads, and they said, we brought iman on the Lord of the world. Fir'aun said, you're just reiterating with me. Iyaya. Said, Rabbi Musa wa Harun. No, you're dreaming. We're talking of the Lord of Musa and Harun. Oh, now I will show you my muscle. What they say? When the debate is lost, then slander becomes the tool of the loser. When the debate is lost, then slander becomes the tool of the loser. Oh, you want to be funny with me? وَلَتَعْلَمُنَّ أَيُّنَا أَشَدُّ عَذَابًا وَأَبْقَى. Now you will learn the hard way. You will see who can punish more, me or the Lord of Musa. That is a threat to someone whose iman is not firm like me. But to someone whose iman is firm, he smiles at you in your face. He smiles in your face. Uhud. The Muslims were defeated. Abu Sufyan leaves. He walks a little. He says, no man, but why are we fleeing the battle? We should wipe them out completely, man. I mean, why are we going? We got to come back. They were humiliated. We had the upper hand. So he comes back. Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud comes to the Nabi of Allah. Listen, they mobilizing again and they coming back for you. Today Uhud has ended. Sahaba are maimed. They injured. They bruised. They hurt. 70 are buried. Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud comes and circulates this rumor. Innama ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. He comes. أَيْ يُخَوِّفُكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. He comes and he stirs this emotions amongst you. Nabi Sassam calls on the Sahaba. We are done with Uhud. But according to Allah, the battle is not over. Get ready. Allah praises the Sahaba. الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحِ مِنْ بَعْدِ. Those who obliged, complied and responded when they were hurt, they were injured, they were bruised, they were maimed, they were tired, they were exhausted, they were lethargic, they were emotionally distraught. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّقَوْا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا. They barely came out of the battle. They hurt, they injured. We go through one challenge in our life, my brother. We barely recover and the second one comes. I met a brother the other day shopping. I said, how are you doing? He said, Allah doesn't leave a day but without testing me. I said, brother, go slow. Yes. Allah favors you also. Allah tests you. Surely that's right. We need to be, you know, watch how we praise Allah, how we say, we all are tested and rightfully so. But is that the only way you know of Allah? Allah tests you. But do you realize and reflect and do you understand His bounties upon you and His favors upon you? الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ. People said to them, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah is sufficient, He is the best guardian. Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud circulated this rumor. Ma'bad Khuza'i from the Khuza'i tribe. Not a Muslim but diplomatic ties with the Muslims. He goes to Abu Sufyan. He says the Muslims might be bruised but they are strong. Ibn Khaldun writes in his Muqaddama, a physical defeat never ended a nation but a psychological defeat wiped out a nation. Today the Ummah has become victims of psychological defeat. Physically, in our mind, in our mental mind, we've lost the plot. We've lost the act. And that is why we've become ghutha unka ghutha is sayed. Sahaba were strong. They mobilized. They rallied. He said, you trying to stir panic among them. They excited and they come in. فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ.
وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ. They came to the bazaar in Hamra al-Asad, at this location outside Medina. The kuffar heard the Muslims are coming, they left. سَنُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبَ. My brother, read your history. My brother, understand your deen. What are we reading and where's our heart? I was speaking to one youngster. I asked him some basic things on the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He couldn't answer. Tears welled up in my eyes. I said to him, I'm not talking of a sahabi and his life is just so important. I'm talking the direct source of our deen. If you don't know the elementary aspects of the very life of Nabi alayhi salam, where did we spend our entire life? In Kitabul Ilm, in Hayatul Sahaba, there is a narration. The Sahaba had converged. There was a man sitting there. Everybody had congregated around him. The Nabi of Allah asked the Sahaba, what's happening there? Everybody has converged and congregated. What you listening to? You'll find our youth listening to commentary, watching this, pursuing that, seeing that, and what. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what's this all congregation about? No, Nabi of Allah, أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ بِأَنْسَابِ الْعَرَبِ. This man is a super authority on genealogy, on ancestry. Nabi Alayhi Salaam said, هَذَا عِلْمٌ لَا يَنْفَعُ وَجَهْلٌ لَا يَضُرُ. This is knowledge that doesn't really benefit, and ignorance that doesn't really set you back. You know the score, you know the currency, you know the fluctuation, you know the market, so what? How much has it done? The Sahaba came to Hamra al-Asad. Allah said they returned with three things. فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ. Three things. Number one, they came there. It was an active marketplace taking. They generated revenue and they made money. Number two, فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ. The grace of Allah. And the greatest ni'mat they got, Allah was happy because they responded. Allah was happy because they responded. Anyway, just to mention this and fast track things here so that we understand what is happening here. What happened to the Fir'aun said to these people? He said, I will cut your right hand and I will chop your left leg. And what did the magician say? May Allah transform our hearts. Ibn Kathir writes so beautiful in his tafsir. These magicians in the morning, they were infidels. They were opponents to the Prophet. They were magicians. They were disbelievers. And before the sun could set on that same morning, they were believers, they were disciples, and they were martyrs. What a metamorphic change in a matter of hours. In the morning, they got up as disbelieving magician kuffar. And before the sun could set, they slept in their graves as believers and martyrs and sahaba. And this metamorphic change took place in the company of a Nabi. And that was Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. فَقْضِ مَا أَنْتَ قَاضٍ. I cannot translate this. And I doubt anybody can translate this. Pharaoh, why are you throwing this at us? When the argument is lost, then abuse becomes the tool of the loser. Why are you threatening? فَقْضِ مَا أَنْتَ قَاضٍ. Go for both my hands and both my legs. إِنَّمَا تَقْضِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. You can only destroy this world of minds and you can only get me to my akhirat quicker. Nothing else you can do. Nothing else you can do. Anyway, they will come. Sayyidina Ibrahim will say what he would say. Three lies. What are the three lies of Ibrahim alayhi salam? The ulama say it wasn't a lie. It was tawriya, dissimulation. It was something that was a disguise. It was something that appeared to be something, but the reality was otherwise. Long story short, Ibrahim alayhi salam excuses himself on the pretext of supposed lie. It was not a lie. We lie openly, my brother. Openly, repeatedly, we no bones, oh, it's fine. But that's how it is, right? If you want to be in the business, that's how it happens. Today, what did the nation of Lut say? Look at the Quran. Today, if you want to be honest, sorry, we can't do business together. أَخْرِجُوا آلَ لُوطٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ. We don't want clean people here, sorry. We dirty. I tell you straight, this is how we do. We sweat. Yeah, this is it. This is how we operate. This is how we travel. You want to travel with us? This is how we do. Yeah, I got my own understanding. Everything happens as I say. This is it. This is my understanding. This is how I operate. The first lie of Ibrahim alayhi salam, supposedly, what had happened? The nation was going out. Ibrahim, join us. No, inni saqim, I am sick. I wasn't really sick, and he wasn't really sick physically, but emotionally looking at the wrong of his community. And that's what happening to us today. You see the wrong of society, your children, family. It tolls on you. It eats you up. So I'm sick. Ibrahim alayhi, they assumed it to be physically sick. He referred it to be emotionally sick. When the Nabi of Allah was in Hijrat and he was traveling, Abu Bakr and the Nabi of Allah, everybody recognized Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They asked Abu Bakr, who is this?
referring to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There was 100 camels on the head of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but they weren't aware this is the man himself. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Huwa hadi yahdini. He's my guide, he's guiding me. They thought he's the guide on the road. Abu Bakr's reference was, he's guiding me to Akhirah. So this is typical what you call tawriya, dissimulation, something that has an apparent meaning and has a different meaning. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, I'm sick. They thought physically, he meant emotionally. They go out. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam breaks the idols. He hangs the axe on the big idol. When they come back, مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Whoever has done this, this man is evil. This guy's got an agenda. Yeah, there's a gentleman by the name of Ibrahim. I'm telling you, he didn't join us. He's got something up his sleeve. Call him, call him. Ibrahim alayhi salam is brought forward. Ibrahim alayhi salam, look at the hikmah. We learn how to debate. Today our children want to know how to debate about Islam. How do you get into, look at the wisdom of Ibrahim alayhi salam. They ask Ibrahim alayhi salam, who did this? So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, why don't you ask the gods themselves? Speak to your gods and ask them. So after a moment of pausing with a defeated tone, Ibrahim, you know our gods don't speak, right? Don't rub it in. Ibrahim, like, you know it, you know it. Why are you rubbing it in? لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَاءِ يَنْتِقُونَ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَاءِ يَنْتِقُونَ Ibrahim, you know, you know. Ibrahim said, oh, with one voice you say your God can't speak, and yet with the other voice you bow before that same God. When my young boy is in a crisis, then I say to him, now call on your friends, my bras, my Owens, they'll sort me out, they'll rescue me. No, you know, Dad, my friends, they can't do anything. With one voice you say your friends are useless. But with the second voice, you break the heart of your parents for the same friends. You hurt your parents. When you're in a crisis, who rescues you? May Allah give hidayat to the youth. May Allah open their eyes. They don't realize, when you are in a crisis, it's that very old man who will knock the door of the police station. You know, it's my boy, man. He took the car without my permission, man. These are youngsters, man. Oh, please, man. Let's say, where's your friends? They're gone. They're out of the window. They're into thin air. They got no regard. You admit, you confess, my friends are never for me. But yet you turn around and stab your same parents. Al-akhillau yawma idhim ba'duhum li ba'din aduun illa al-muttaqeen. This friendship will be nothing but enmity on the day of Qiyamah. So what they say, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَاءِ يَنْتِقُونَ Ibrahim, you know our gods can't talk. So he says, أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ Then woe be to you, you confess, you admit, you concede that your gods cannot speak and you bow to that same God. When Amr ibn Jamuh radiallahu anhu, his son, took his idol and tied it up to a dog and dropped it in a well. I was in Malawi recently and a brother said something to me. He said, I was in one place in India and I seen a dog urinate on an idol. And half an hour later, I seen a man come in and bowing before that same idol. Half an hour later, he came and he bowed. And I quoted these couplets and he started tearing. Wallahi law kunta ilahan lam takun anta wa kalbun wasta bi'rin fi qaran. أُفِّلْ لَمِلْقَاكَ إِلَهًا مُسْتَدًا الْآنَ فَتَّشْنَاكَ عَنْ سُوءِ الْغَبَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ ذِي الْمِنَنِ الْوَاهِبِ الرَّزَّاقِ دَيَّانِ الدِّينِ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْقَذَنِي مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ أَكُونَ فِي ظُلْمَةِ قَبْرٍ مُرْتَهَنْ بِأَحْمَدِ الْمَهْدِيِّ النَّبِيِّ الْمُؤْتَمَنِ أَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِمَّا مَضَى وَأَسْتَنْقِذُ اللَّهَ مِنْ نَارِهِ وَأُثْنِي عَلَيْهِ بِنِعْمَائِهِ إِلَهَ الْحَرَامِ وَأَسْتَارِهِ فسبحانه عدد الخاطئين وقطره فسبحانه عدد الخاطئين وقطر السماء ومدراره هداني وقد كنت في ظلمة حليف منات وأحجاره فقد كدت أهلك في ظلمة تدارك ذاك بمقداره فحمدا وشكرا له ما بقيت إله الأنام وجباره أريد بذلك إذ قلته مجاورة الله في داره. When Amr ibn Jamuh radiallahu anhu seen his deity attached to a dog dropped in a well, he said, my Allah, you opened my eyes. I don't know how to thank you. Imagine I died like this. I would be in the darkness of the grave for the rest of my life. إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ
ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ.
Allah will forgive you if you sinned out of ignorance and you made haste to repent. You made haste to repent, to change, to rehabilitate, to reform yourself. I say this, my brother, and I will repeat it. The devil has no problems with our good intentions as long as it's for tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll change. Tomorrow, nothing, no worries. But the day you say you change it now the devil is releasing flatulence. Now he's panicking in his boots because you're going to change now at this moment. So what did Sayyidina Ibrahim say? Try. فَإِنَّمَا اللَّا يَدْفَعُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ الْفَأْسَ كَيْفَ يَدْفَعُ عَنْ عَابِدِهِ الْبَأْسَ فَإِنَّمَا اللَّا يَدْفَعُ. An idol that can't move an axe from its neck. Where is he going to avert a pain from a disbeliever? There's a friend of mine who was a former atheist and agnostic, and he reverted to Islam. And he chats a lot with me, and he reads a lot, and he always asks me for advice, etc., and to the best of my ability. He says, let me share something with you. Which is the darkest moment in the life of an atheist? And I'm like, tell me, my brother. He said, after owning everything, you have nobody to thank. He says, you have an accomplishment. You hit the roof. You hit your goal. You can't drop your head because according to you, there is no deity. There is no supreme being. You know what a shallow moment that is. You know what a hollow moment. You know what a dark moment. You know what a confusing moment. You hit the roof. It happened for you. It worked out. Everything is yours. And you're like, okay. When your inner self is screaming, it's screaming to thank someone. But according to you, وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهَرُ وَمَا يُنْهِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهَرُ. This is the passage of time. It's the movements of life. We come and go, we live and die. What a dark moment. He said, that darkness and depression brought me into Islam. Every time I hit my goal and I make it, I'm like, I'm lost. I don't know who to thank. And we have sajda to shukr. If you can't spare 2 units of prayer, drop your head in prostration. Obviously, juristically, the same regulations of prayer apply. But drop your head down in sajda. When Qab radiallahu anhu's tawbah was accepted, khararrtu sajida. I just, you know, instinctively, I just dropped down. And I said, my Lord, besides you, who else? And the tears just trickle down. So they said, catapult him into the fire. And Sayyidina Ibrahim was catapulted. And in Tafsir Uthmani, the footnotes are mentioned. After the period he stays in the fire, when he comes out, what does he say? وَقَالَ إِنَّمَا اتَّخَذْتُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْثَانًا مَوَدَّةَ بَيْنِكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. He resumes with the da'wah that he had given before they dropped him in the well. I'm like, that is iman. That is iman. The third thing, that and one incident, and then I conclude, inshallah. The third incident, Sayyidina Ibrahim is traveling, he comes to Egypt, there's a tyrant ruler there. Any man traveling with his spouse, he abducts her and then he satisfies himself. Ibrahim alayhi salam. So here, when they asked him who broke the idol, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا. This big idol. فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ. Ask them. So Ibrahim had broken it, but he attributed it to the idol. This is academically isnad-e majazi. It's a metaphorical reference. And the answer given is simple. A student, due to non-compliance, he is expelled. A employee, due to probable late coming, or due to some misconduct, he's dismissed. And what does the employer say? I didn't dismiss you, you dismissed yourself. The teacher says, I didn't expel you, you expelled yourself. Meaning your action resulted in expulsion. When Ibrahim alayhi salam said, the idol broke the idols, meaning this idol provoked me. So it wasn't a white lie. It wasn't a lie in any form, shape or size. It was a tawriya, a dissimulation in which they perceived it. Yet Ibrahim said, how do I take it to Allah? How about you and I, my brother? We comfortable. We know how many a man, may Allah guide one and all, they spend lavishly on their spouses, not because they want to, but they're only trying to suppress the guilt of infidelity. I come home, I can't look my wife in her eyes. She takes me up with a smile, a meal is prepared, and I know what I was doing. And now this haunts me, it kills me. And I cannot tell you how many people have phoned me, and it's bothering me. I can't stop my shenanigans, I can't look my wife in her eyes. The only thing I try and appease my guilt is by splashing on her. How long you'll run this race? How long you'll run this lie, my brother? You got to meet your Allah, I got to meet my Allah. Like, you know, the ulama say there are 4 ways of reformation. One is musahabat, one is muhasaba, one is mu'akhat, and one is wa'ad bil ghair. Quickly, musahabat, you adopt the company of pious. this transmission of nobility. And one of my scholars said it very beautifully, when a battery is flat, and then you put a car next to it, and you connect the cables. So what do? We're transmitting power from one to the other. But now you don't just sit there and you transfer. You say, now rev yours. Yeah, you've got to sit there and rev yourself. We don't rev. Many of us associate ourselves with the pious only to endorse our unsavory activities. May Allah guide me, may Allah guide you. We taint in clean water, pollute this water, don't pollute Zamzam water. And then after that, to get the, you know, the car running and to get it active, go take it for a drive. Imbibe, internalize, let it flow into your entire body. Musahabat. The second one is muhasabah. Every night before retiring to bed, you look at yourself and you ask yourself, like, how many wrongs have I done today? I've done this, I've done this. Then you ask yourself, do I want to carry on like this? Am I happy like this? I hurt so many people, I offended so many people, I abused. Do I want to live like this? Ibn Daqiq al-Eid used to say, مَا تَكَلَّمْتُ كَلِمَةً إِلَّا أَعْدَدْتُ لَهُ جَوَابًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. I never uttered one statement in my whole life, but that I prepared a response to that statement if Allah asked me, why did you say this? Today somebody sent me a beautiful message. If you don't want to die there, don't visit it while you live it. If you don't want that to be your last words, don't say it while you live it. If you don't want to be resurrected with them, don't associate yourself with them. Hey, I don't want to die there, but now I'm young, so you know how it is. What, my brother? What? Musahabat. The second one is muhasabah. You ask yourself every day, you take stock. Man, I did this, I hurt this one, I offended that one. Do I want to die like this? Am I happy? Am I okay with this? The third one, mu'akhat. You pay up. You know, Bluetooth pairing devices, you pay up with two people. Listen, my brother, I can't see my wrong, you can't see your wrong. So let's pay up. But you must have broad shoulders. You must have broad shoulders. So whatever wrong I'm going to see in you, I'm going to tell you openly, you're not going to take offense. And whatever wrong you're going to see me, because I need somebody to tell me, and I can't see my own wrong. Somebody passes wind here, you block in your nose. You in the toilet defecating, half an hour is going, running strong. One man, excuse me, is in the loo, another one in the loo, I'm there. The guy releasing one from one toilet, good shot. Like, brother, what's this happening here, man? You know what, like, I need to get my way out of here. The guy's like over the walls there, good shot, brother. No issues. You defecate in half an hour, the stench is not offensive to you. Somebody else, probably mucus from his nose, it offends you. Your eyes can magnify the small mistake of others. Blind to your own, deaf to your own. And I'm deaf to mine, my brother. I'm not pontifying myself. May Allah guide me, may Allah guide you. So you pay up with two people. Brother, I'm going to steal whatever wrong, someone in your, and we open. You must tell me straight. That's it. In fact, there's mention of two people like this, they paid up. He said, how was it? Was it good? He said, no, we're not talking for 9 months. I said, that's the problem. You can't pay up and then, no, who are you to tell me? Who are you? No, that defeats the essence. And the fourth one is wa'ad bil ghair. You look around you and you say, look at that man. Oh, that arrogance of his doesn't look nice. It just doesn't look nice. I've got to make it a point not to do that. And you start learning from others. You start learning. So these are the four ways of Islam. May Allah grant it to us. May Allah bless us with it. May Allah inspire us with it. Anyway, so Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam comes in this town. With him is his spouse, the tyrant ruler here. And then he tells his spouse that you are my sister, I'm your brother. Because if a man was traveling with his sibling, then the devil, this tyrant ruler wouldn't lay his hands. So if he summons you, you say that we are brother and sister. So anyway, she is brought forward. He is provoked by his ego. She offers two units of prayer. Allahumma ahsantu farji illa ala zawji. Fala tusallit alayya hadha al-kafir. Allah, don't let this kafir touch me. Allah, don't let him touch me. Allah, I don't want his hands on my body. He stretches his hand out. He makes lustful advancement. قُبِضَتْ يَدُهُ قَبْضَةٍ شَدِيدًا. His hand freezes. It becomes stiff. Now he's in a fix. So he tells Sarah radiyallahu anha, اُدْعِ اللَّهَ أَن يُطْلِقَ يَدِي لَا أَدُرُّكِ. Please ask your Lord to release my hand. I won't touch you, sister. So she makes dua to Allah. Allah releases his hand. Allah forbid, you're indulging in haram. You're at some private location. The door is locked. This thing is not opening. Network is not working. Your mind starts thinking, Ya Allah, where is it? I can't meet my fate here. I can't die here. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen? At the time of sin, the devil overpowers us, overwhelms us. We forget we are answerable to Allah. For the moment we forget, we think, كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ فَكَانَ عَاقِبَتَهُمَا أَنَّهُمَا فِي النَّارِ خَالِدَيْنِ فِيهَا. Disobey, don't worry man, we're with you all the way. That's what Suraqa said to Abu Jahl before Badr. Suraqa, it was the devil who had impersonated Suraqa, who was the leader of the Banu Kinana tribe. My brothers, this is my pain, and I hope I can be modest and say this to you. I wish and I pray and I hope and I speak that the Muslim Ummah's knowledge on Islam could be up to speed and scratch. That in my delivery, in my address, I can make anecdotal reference. Every Muslim congregant on the strength of his own understanding of Islamic knowledge, he can tap into his own archives and turn the pages and push himself up to speed and move on. But lo and behold, our knowledge on Islamic history is at an absolute low. Like, oh, really? I didn't know this? It's mentioned in the Quran. No clue. And I don't even feel bad about it. So anyway, Sarah radiallahu anha makes dua. His hand is released. But this is the devil. And I have this thought in my mind, and how many of us are guilty of this here? His hand is released, now he's okay. He says, no man, but this woman is too beautiful. Maybe the first time I didn't do it right. You got yourself involved, it had negative impacts. Your marriage was on the rock. You were about to be exposed. It was going to cost you your business. And Allah took you out. After a little while, that tantrums and that shenanigans and that ego started coming into you again. You know, I see with the youngsters, they're driving, music is blasting, they're loud, arrogant, then they see an accident, then they off it, hey, let's read durud. Then they cross, little while, come, relax now, brothers, you know what I mean, we need a bit of excitement. So quick, my brother, so quick. You've seen that accident, you've seen casualties, you've seen youth, gone. The Quran says, you pass by the dwellings of people that were destroyed. You don't see? Are you blind? وَلَقَدْ أَتَوْ عَلَى الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي أُمْطِرَتْ مَطَرَ السَّوْءِ أَفَلَمْ يَكُونُوا يَرَوْنَهَا بَلْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ نُشُورًا. Surah Furqan, second page of 19 Jews and third page. وَلَقَدْ أَتَوْ, and they came, عَلَى الْقَرْيَةِ, on a locality, أُمْطِرَتْ مَطَرَ السَّوْءِ, on which an evil shower was rained, the nation of Lut. وَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مُصْبِحِينَ وَبِاللَّيْلِ. You pass by these dwellings morning and evening. أَفَلَمْ يَكُونُوا يَرَوْنَهَا. Don't you see? No, بَلْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ نُشُورًا. You don't believe in resurrection, so you attribute their destruction to cause and effect, and not to sin. You don't attribute it to the divine wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again the whisper came, and he stretched his hand again. My brother, you know that wrong, you know that friends, you know that company, you know that circle, you know what it did to you. Come out of it and let me come out of my wrong, my brother. How long am I going to battle and go into that wave? It's sucking me in, it's swallowing me in. Then I come out, then I go back. Then I come out, then I go. It's just a game we are playing. Again, he stretches his hand. قُبِذَتْ يَدُهُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَبْضَةِ الْأُولَى. The hand becomes more stiff than the first time. Really, now my apologies, I'm not going to be touching you. I won't be. Pray to your Lord. Sarah radiallahu anha prays, and that's the kindness of the heart of the spouse of a Nabi. When the Nabi of Allah was in the journey of Hijrat, Suraqa bin Malik bin Ju'shum, he was tempted by the offer of 100 camels, gets onto his horse and gallops it, and he's coming close to intercept the Nabi of Allah. He tells his servant, put my camel outside there, on his horse. He hops on and he runs. The Nabi of Allah makes one modest glance, the earth splits and Suraqa goes down. He says, oh Muhammad, I won't get 100 camels, I'll lose my one also. I'll lose my one, please forgive me, I won't pursue you, please. Nabi Sassam says, okay, I have forgiven you. He gets up, gets his act again. He says, no man, 100 camels, I need to look at this thing again, man. This is a serious offer, man. You can't let this thing go. Recently a brother phoned me, good brother, big deal, big in big numbers. Is this permissible? He's a good friend of mine. I told him it's not permissible, but I'm a bit upset with you. This is not a doubtful not acceptable, this is a loud not accepted. I'm shocked you're asking me this. He said, no, I know that, but I was just like making a lot of dua, and I thought maybe there's one time it all happening. instead of it coming in drips and drabs, like one big parcel coming together. You say, hey, man, I promise you, Shaitan can play tricks with you. You know, this thing was, the way my mind was running. You know, inside I knew, but I said, let me just find out. I said, no, man. A good friend of mine, I said, no, man, really, this is not on. Like, the fact that you kind of felt the heat and it was pulling you in. You were feeling the temptation and you were getting into it. Again, Suraqah pursues. The Nabi of Allah looks a cursory glance. The earth splits, he sinks in. Oh, forgive me, O Nabi of Allah. No, this is in. Three times, Suraqah said, no, now I make peace. Really, I want to accept your faith. Second time, his hand becomes tough. So then, Sarah radiallahu anha, he begs her, forgive me. She makes dua, his hand release. Again, you might think how outrageous, how bizarre, how ludicrous, how preposterous this man, how strange, how peculiar. But look into your own life, You went back to that sin, you came back. Ask a boy, a youngster phoned me the other day. I've slipped, I've fallen, I've been 8 months clean and I've popped a pill and I'm so down and distraught. I'm listening to one of your lectures. Please inspire me and say some kind words to me. I'm dead out on the ground. I've lost everything. I was 8 months clean. I tried to the best of my ability to pep him up and give him some hope and say, get back on track. Somebody said a beautiful analogy of Salah. They said, what has Allah taught us in Salah? Bow, but stand up. Fall down, but stand up. Sit, but stand up. What's the message? How many times you fall, you still stand up. You stand up. Every time you go down, you stand up. You go down in the difficult. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُمْ وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ The warmness in this ayah when I read it in the whole Quran. Allah says, oh my Habib, I'm watching you. I'm observing you. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُمْ When you stand in. وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ And your to and fro movements amongst those prostrating. A brother told me, he said, we're talking of prostate cancer. But the ummah has more prostrate cancer. The ummah has more prostrate cancer. Where is cancer? We've lost prostration. This prostration cancer that has gripped and plagued the ummah. Again, he's tempted for the third time. He stretches his hand, and again it becomes qubidat yaduhu ashaddu min alqabdatayn alulayn. Now this hand is stiff. It's paralyzed. It's like, I beg you, I beseech you, release this. I will not touch you. She makes dua, Allah releases. He said, wallahi ma arsaltum ilayya illa shaytanan. This is some other creature. Take this woman away from me. وَأَخْدَمَهَا هَاجَرْ And then he gave her the gift of Hajar. And then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, فَتِلْكَ أُمُّكُمْ يَا بَنِي إِسْمَعِيلِ O Bani Ismail, that is where your lineage goes up to. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, three supposed lies. The Quran is replete with the accolades of Ibrahim alayhi salam, yet he modestly excuses himself. How do we achieve honesty? How do we achieve it? How do we become? The Quran says, don't sit with those that lie. Don't be on social groups with them. Don't barbecue with them. Don't party with them. Don't travel with them. A good friend of mine says, you know, we buddies, we went fishing. And then a good brother, supposedly, he stands and he starts passing urine. And he's like, but he says, come man, we're out, it's a fishing trip. Brother, relax man. Chill. What you so, you know what? Constipated. You must relax, man. Yeah. Be calm. He says, and it was like an awkward moment, like, what do we say? How do we say? Because we're traveling. It's, who are you associating? That's what's going to happen. When Tabuk came, and Allah told the Sahaba to strive in the path of Allah. And Allah told the Sahaba to come in their numbers. There were five categories, and I'll conclude on this note. Five categories of people regarding Tabuk. The first group of Sahaba who responded, who obliged, who complied. The second group, they were somewhat shaky, but they obliged. الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ فِي سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا كَادَ يَزِيغُ قُلُوبُ فَرِيقٍ مِّنْهُمْ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ The third group of Sahaba, they were those who were genuinely excused. They didn't have conveyance, they didn't have funds. وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوا They were excused, they didn't have funds, Allah knows the truth. The fourth category, 10 Sahaba, no excuse. The occasion came out to strive in the path of Allah. You made a promise to join a Jamaat. You gave your commitment, 3 days, 40 days, 10 days. The time comes, you backtrack. The time comes, you entertain 1,000 other ideas. Allah is watching. Those that are striving will go and return, and the time will pass. The choice is yours. 10 genuine, honest, sincere, devout Sahaba. They did not participate for no legitimate reason. 3 are known to everyone: Ka'b bin Malik, Murara bin Rabi, and Hilal bin Umayyah radiyallahu anhum. But there were other 7 Sahaba as well. وَآخَرُونَ اعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. These 7, they tied themselves to a pillar when the Nabi of Allah returned. They surrendered and they said, "O Nabi of Allah, forgive us." The other 3, they delayed their tawbah.
وَآخَرُونَ مُرْجَوْنَ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِمَّا يُعَذِّبُهُمْ وَإِمَّا يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ.
I'm just giving you reference on the ayah. You can read it, my brother, and understand the beauty of Quran, the eloquence of Quran. You can just tear and read it. It's so soothing. It's so therapeutic to listen to the message of the Quran and just, you know what, revive your heart. So that was the second. The last category was the munafiqeen. They didn't come. And amongst the munafiqeen, there were 2. Some made excuses and others just sat at home.
وَجَاءَ الْمُعَذِّرُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ لِيُؤْذَنَ لَهُمْ وَقَعَدَ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ.
When the Sahaba returned, the munafiqeen started making 1,000 excuses. This, that, yeah, like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Nabi of Allah, "May Allah bring honesty to me, may Allah make us, make you honest." They say honesty is like surgery, and lies is like a painkiller. For the moment the pain will be gone, but long term the residue will gather in your liver, in your kidneys, and it will destroy your body. You won't recover. Surgery might be a painful procedure, but ultimately you will see light at the end, you will see health at the end. When this had occurred, the munafiqeen started coming and making 1,000 stories. You can lie to your wife, distort, cheat, usurp, put wool, hoodwink, play a trick, play a game, run a race. But how are you going to do it? In Ma'riful Quran, this is mentioned when Zulaykha tried to seduce Yusuf. So she then covered something. So Yusuf alayhi salam said, "What's that?" Said, "No, my idol, I feel insulted that I do my wrong in front of the idol." So she put a cloth over the idol. So Yusuf said, "You can cover your God, I can't cover mine. I can't cover mine." And in one kitab I read so beautiful, I'm just having the thought in my mind, that Sayyidina Yusuf ran to the door and she ran to the door. But when intentions change, then the output of it changed. The ulama write, وَهُوَ يَسْتَبِقُ إِلَى الْبَابِ وَهِيَ تَسْتَبِقُ إِلَى الْبَابِ لَكِنَّ يُوسُفْ يَسْتَبِقُ بَابَ الْجَنَّةِ وَهِيَ تَسْتَبِقُ بَابَ النَّارِ. They both ran to one door. But for Yusuf, that was the door of paradise. And for her, it was the door of hell. Because he was running from zina, she was running towards zina. 2 people can do the same action. One has a good intention, the output will be different. And another person can do the same action, but his intention is evil, the output will be different. Your intentions are clean, my brother, you will live for long. You will see how Allah will let your name, your wealth, your progeny prosper. Keep good intentions in life. Don't allow pollution, contamination to enter your intentions. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the munafiqeen. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? They're going to come and make 1,000 questions to you and 1,000 excuses. فَإِن تَرْضَوْ عَنْهُمْ قُلْ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ لَكُمْ. Tell them, "Listen, we don't even listen to you, please. We don't want to listen. Please don't come lie. We had enough of your lies. And we don't want to listen to you. Allah has informed us." Then the Nabi of Allah said, some of them, Allah revealed there were some of them have an art of lying. Some people, I know of a man who thrives on lies. It's known about him. And he lives a life about this, distorting, camouflaging, lying. That's his pride. He thrives on this. The Quran says some of them are very articulate. And they will sway you. They will convince you. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh the believers, even if they impress you, and hypothetically, they make an argument with charming words and rosy language, they impress you, rest assured, Allah will never be impressed. And Allah is never happy. You got acquitted. You bought over the bench. You took control over the case. You shelved the whole thing. But in the end of the day, Allah knows the truth. فَإِن تَرْضَوْ عَنْهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. فَإِن تَرْضَوْ عَنْهُمْ. A man who lives a life of sin and lies, Allah is never happy with him. Allah then mentioned the incident of those 3 Sahaba. Allah had forgiven them. But when Allah forgave them, Allah said, "I have forgiven you, but do one thing." What did Allah say?
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين.
I have forgiven you, but now stay with people who speak the truth. There's two explanations given in two different tafsirs. One is stay with those who speak the truth, because in the end it's your honesty that saved you. What did Sayyidina Ka'b say? إِنَّمَا أَنْجَانِ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِالصِّدْقِ وَإِنَّ مِنْ تَوْبَتِي أَلَّا أُحَدِّثَ إِلَّا صِدْقًا. In the end I spoke the truth, and this is where I came out clean. This is where Allah forgave me, and that was it. And the second explanation given in Ma'riful Quran, that, O my Sahaba, this negative influence of non-participation in Tabuk, when the call was made, came because of your inadvertent association with liars. Because you were somewhat making contact with people who lie, that's how you didn't participate. You wonder, why I can't do good? Why can't I rise for tahajjud? Why can't? Well, my brother, look at your company. Look at those people with whom you associate. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those people who make positive changes on the earth. We ask Allah to make us amongst those people who leave a positive legacy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of Radio Islam and its team and its presenters and those well-wishers and donors and those that sponsor and those that donate and those that see it with the eye of good. And all the activities, the ijtimas, the jamaats, the self-reformation, the zawiyat, the ulama, the institutions, wherever, whatever, however, in any form, shape or size, anyone promoting the word of khair in an article over the airwaves, may Allah bless and take each one. The young boy that has completed the Quran, we congratulate him, his parents and the family. And I would be failing in my duty if I don't put on record my gratitude to his honorable father, Haji Ibrahim, for that sumptuous, scrumptious, tantalizing, finger-licking dinner. I don't want to tickle your taste buds if you weren't there, but mashallah, was really a good feast and a lavish spread. May Allah give you loads of barakah. May Allah give you loads of barakah. It takes a lot to feed, and some people really have the passion of feeding their family, the host, and everyone around. May Allah reward each one of you abundantly and handsomely. We say to the young boy, mashallah, the easier part is over, the challenge is yet to come. I've said this in all my hifz jalsas. It's easy to get married, difficult to remain married. I'm sure you guys agree. Like, I can't be the one. I have no issues, but I'm sure you'll... To become a hafiz, those that are huffaz will identify with me. It's easier to become a hafiz, difficult to remain a hafiz. Shine out, my young boy. Be an ambassador of deen. يَنْبَغِي لِحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ أَنْ يُعْرَفَ بِلَيْلِهِ إِذَا النَّاسُ نَائِمُونَ وبنهاره إذا الناس مفطرون وبخشوعه إذا الناس يختالون. A hafiz, when people are sleeping, he's in prayer. When people are indulging, he is observing fast. When people are blurting nonsense, he is silent. And Fudayl ibn Ayyad said, لا ينبغي لحامل القرآن أن يلهو مع من يلهو أو يلغو مع من يلغو. That a hafiz, he can't be talking like how others talk. I am appalled and I yell at this. Our youth, by and large, cannot make a dignified discussion. It's slang, it's raw language, it's abbreviation, it's among... They cannot talk a straight, clean, honest, you know, regular language. It's only the Owens and whatever. So some of it is still, you know what, kosher, above board. But other than that, it's really bad, obscene. It's vulgar, it's unpleasant, it's raw, it's uncultured, it's not dignified. They just cannot speak a clear, clean, proper language. That is really not the case of a believer. A believer's language is refined. A believer's speech is very, very polite. He watches, he observes his words, how he speaks, how he engages. So for the hafiz of the Qur'an, يَنْبَغِي لِحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ أَلَّا يَلْهُ مَعَ مَنْ يَلْهُ وَأَلَّا يَلْغُ مَعَ مَنْ يَلْغُ. He can't be chilling and relaxing with those who do it, just sitting, smoking away, doing evil and haram. That's not becoming of a young man. Allah has given you the Qur'an, and Allah has transmitted this great word into your bosom. فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. That in your bosom you have imbibed the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah preserve that Quran in you. May it be a source of bringing khair in your home and environment. Salman al-Mati said, رَأَيْتُ عَلِيًّا فِي الْمَنَامِ. I seen Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu in a dream. And he said, it's these young boys who read Quran in the early hours of the morning, that is protecting your land from earthquakes and tremors.
لولا الذين لهم ورد يقومون وآخرون لهم سرد يسومون لدكدكت أرضكم من تحتكم سحرا لأنكم قوم سوء ما تطيعون.
Some of you are doing evil and vice and wrong, but those who get up at Sahar in the early part of the morning and they are reciting Quran. Imagine, that's such a beautiful house. You know, walk in. I don't know the words of Abdullah ibn Abbas.
ليس شيء أقر لعين المسلم من أن يرى زوجته وأولاده مطيعين لله عز وجل.
Wallahi, any father can I? You walk into the house, you had a busy day, you had a long day, and you open the bathroom, and your son's foot is in the basin, and he's completing his wudu. And you open the other door, and your son is in ruku. And you get in the room, and your wife is in sajda. And you go, oh my Allah, that is jannat on this earth. That is jannat on this earth. Your child reading Quran, that is so soothing. That is so soothing. That is so peaceful to see your children in the obedience of Allah. Ibn Abbas said, there's nothing that can thrill a believer. If your son is in drama lessons and is thrilling you, my brother, check your iman. Check your iman and ask yourself some serious questions. Allah grant us all the understanding. Wa sallallahu wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ashukru kulluhu wa ilayka yurja'u al-amru kulluhu ala niyatuhu wa sirruh. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وزد وتحنن وترحم على حبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما، وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما، ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم اجعل أولادنا أبرارا أتقياء وأنبتهم في الإسلام نباتا حسنا. Oh most kind, most loving, most gracious, most merciful Allah. Allah, you're not restricted by any language nor any dialect. We have difficulty comprehending a person speaking a common language with a different accent, my Allah. Same language, different accent, and we grapple to understand. Allah, you understand it. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. It all reflects your majesty, diversity of complexion, color, creed, and language, Allah. Allah, billions ask to you, Allah, and that's your greatness and your supremacy and your grandeur, Allah. Allah, few hundreds have converged and congregated here and sat for a good 2 hours listening to you, my Allah. It's only our love for you, O Allah, that have come here. Some have come here, Allah, with great hope and aspiration that this program and attending this gathering will give them light and direction from the crisis in which they find themselves. Allah, you respond to their call and their plea, Allah. You take each one out of his individual pain, anxiety and difficulty, Allah. Allah, whatever was said, give us the ability to internalize it, Allah. Allah, the night is dark, it has become challenging, Allah. Allah, we've been butchered, we've been attacked, Allah. You hear the media, there's issues, there's crisis, the ummah has been rocked again, another life has fallen, another dictator in place, Allah. Economically, Allah, there is instability, Allah. Crime-wise, every day there is crime, Allah. Socially, in amongst our families, there's divorce, there's zina, there's this that's happening, there's that, that. Allah, the night has darkened, Allah. The crisis has intensified, Allah. Allah, the youth have rebelled, Allah. The tyrants have become more obstinate and arrogant, Allah. But we know with certainty, Allah. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا. You have decreed to us, you're not oblivious, you're not unmindful, you are not unaware. You are watching, you are monitoring, you are observing. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُمْلِي. You're giving respite and grace and chance, Allah. Allah, we ask you, O Allah, اللهم أقبل بقلوبنا إلى طاعتك. Allahumma aqbil biqulubina. Oh Allah, you align our hearts, fine-tune our hearts, Allah. Allah, our hearts have become dead. When a person becomes ill and he loses interest in eating, he loses his appetite, Allah. The best of foods are put there, he can't eat. We've lost our appetite for spirituality, Allah. We hear the best of talks, we listen to the best of recitation, but our inner soul has died a death, Allah. You revive the soul, Allah. Let it eat from that spiritual tablecloth, oh Allah. Let it eat from the spiritual food and variety that you have sent to us, Allah. Oh Allah, you accept the endeavors and the efforts of the radio station, the donors, the well-wishers. Allah, let the message be echoed and amplified and beam across the globe, oh Allah. Oh Allah, those that are in financial difficulties, rescue them from the financial difficulties. Allah, those that are in physical illness, chronic conditions, oh Allah, in and out of hospitals, challenging and grappling with bills and pills, Allah. You grant them ease and afiyah and rescue them, Allah. Allah, those of our marriages that are rocky and turbulent, Allah. Allah, put peace in them. Reconcile them, oh Allah. Allah, those of us that are guilty of infidelity and disloyalty, Allah. Let our lives change. Give us modesty. Give us haya, Allah. Bring taqwa, taharati in our lives, Allah. Those of our youth that have been rocked by the scourge of drugs, oh Allah, and intoxicants, oh Allah. Rid them of this evil, Allah. Allah, give them the strength and the resilience, Allah, not to succumb to this, oh Allah. Give them the strength and the might. Make our rehabilitation centers free and empty, Allah, that there's no need for you to, oh Allah. Guide our youth, my Allah. Guide our youth. Allah, those that have hurt their parents, give them the ability to cheer those parents up, oh Allah. Give them the ability to cheer them up, oh Allah. Allah, let us read Quran, connect ourselves with Quran. Allah, give us halal income. Save us from haram and interest and usury and deceit and lying and distorting and fraudulent deals, Allah. Allah, give us satisfaction, oh Allah. Let us run a race in deen, Allah. Save us from the race of this world. Save us from the attachments of this mundane things and transitory items, oh Allah. Oh Allah, those have left this world from our near and dear ones and Muslims across the globe, Allah. Let peace and tranquility descend upon their souls, oh Allah. Oh Allah, we ask from you all the good that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had asked. And we ask thy divine protection against all the evils and the vices, oh Allah. All the viruses, Allah, that are in the air, oh Allah. You give us the tawfiq. Allah, we enter a clinic, we got to apply something on our hands. Because it's infested with so many viruses, oh Allah. Give us the ability to do the right things, to insulate and fortify ourselves against the viruses of our iman, oh Allah. Allah, the bugs and the viruses might be confined to an area where patients are quarantined, Allah. But the viruses and the bugs that destroy our iman are in the atmosphere, Allah, on the ground and even in the air when we fly, Allah. There are viruses right across the globe, Allah, in the atmosphere and on the ground, Allah. Let us insulate ourselves with wudu. Let us insulate ourselves. Give us the strength and the ability, O Allah. Make us resilient that we don't succumb to these viruses. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu abduka wa nabiyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.